Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 14, Number 9. In the last edition of Clinical Review, my topic was PSN Number 28, Fats. Of the three macronutrients, fats, proteins, and carbs, only two of them are actually essential, and they, of course, are fats and proteins. Unbeknownst to the majority, carbohydrates are not essential to human health and existence, which begs the following question. Why is almost everyone eating them like they are? Fats provide energy, fat-soluble vitamins, the two essential fatty acids, sterols, CoQ10, lipoic acid, and many other intrinsic antioxidant molecules, including the carotenoids. Good fats and excellent proteins often come together in nature as a biological package deal. Good examples include salmon, sardines, shellfish, wild game, and blue-green algae. Excess fat stored as body fat, especially when engineered in the body from sugar and refined carbohydrate and stored around the gut and torso, is detrimental to health, longevity, and athletic performance. The relationship is categorical and linear. The higher the quantity or percentage of body fat, as in above 20% for men and 25% for women, the greater the risk of death from all causes. And this is why it's so important to, at least on an annual basis, best is monthly or biannual, is get your body fat analyzed. Get a full fitness assessment. That'd be ideal. Obesity is a relatively recent phenomenon. Today, at least 2 billion people are overweight and obese. And just like the national debt, the numbers are rising exponentially. On this edition of Clinical Review, my topic is kids at the gym. When's the right time to introduce them? The health of our children is a direct reflection of our society, culture, education, or lack of it, our own efforts, and their lifestyle, not genetics, as many people claim. Epigenetics is the study of variation and change caused by external factors that switch genes on and off. In other words, we now know that environment and lifestyle determine the outcome of our health, body composition, and performance more than any other factors, including the genes themselves. Genes are the hardware, environment and lifestyle are the software. It is what we download into the brain or don't that ultimately determines success or failure. Without clean, wholesome food and optimum amounts of essential micronutrients, young people become apathetic and lose enthusiasm. Toxic nutrition poisons children mentally and physically. Supplements of particular importance for children include the EFAs, essential vitamins and minerals, protein shakes, and probiotics, to name a few. Encourage children to go outside as much as possible. Try free-range parenting. Up to age 3 or 4, the best activity is natural movement achieved through running, chasing, digging, climbing, and playing at the park. Teach your child how to ride a bicycle. Introduce them to ice skating. Buy them a set of inline skates or a foot scooter, and if only for survival's sake, teach them how to swim. Dance lessons and gymnastics develop excellent coordination and emphasize stretching. Martial arts have fine programs for children. As your son or daughter grows up and becomes stronger, expose them to a wide variety of sports. Not all kids get into organized sports, but all kids should move and eventually learn not only how to exercise correctly, but also why. The best age to begin weight training is 5 to 7 years old, depending on the maturity, development, and enthusiasm of the young person. That's straight from the American College of Sports Medicine, provided they receive supervision and don't train too long or too hard. This position is also shared by the Mayo Clinic, the American Academy of Pediatrics, and the American College of Sports Medicine. Dr. Avery Feigenbaum, PhD, University of Massachusetts, Boston, says research on 7 to 12-year-olds indicates that pre-adolescents can increase their strength by 40% through performing an 8 to 12-week program of strength training. Such activity is of particular importance to females who in later life are at greater risk of developing osteoporosis. The American College of Sports Medicine recommends that children who lift weights should be mindful of the following. Number one, get instruction and supervision from a qualified teacher. Two, always warm up and cool down. Three, get a medical exam first if there are known or suspected health problems. Four, do 1 to 3 sets of 6 to 15 reps 2 to 3 times weekly on non-consecutive days. Five, avoid maximal lifting. And six, emphasize proper technique and safety, not weight. Before a teenager reaches adult maturity, there are two primary concerns with weight training. First, the bones of a young person are 2 to 5 times less dense than the bones of an adult, so heavy weight should be avoided. Think of weights as light, medium, and heavy. Heavy generally describes an amount of weight that can't be lifted more than 6 times in one set. Second, teenagers lack specialized anaerobic enzymes needed for muscle recovery after intense, hard workouts. Therefore, young people should train with less intensity and not push to all-out maximum failure. Contrary to conventional belief, weightlifting will not stunt a child's growth, but rather with proper instruction and education, support underlying organ and skeletal development, improve body function, and strengthen heart and muscular health. Weight training will also help kids to excel in sports at school, which is why I myself started weight training at age 12 and never looked back. That was 45 years ago, and I'm still training 5 days a week with intensity and have no injuries. Compared to many sports, such as hockey, football, lacrosse, and soccer, resistance training at home or in the gym is statistically much safer, provided it is performed correctly. Overcoming training obstacles in the gym requires discipline, teaches patience, and builds self-confidence, character traits young people need to develop. Every obstacle overcome in the gym can be transferred to real-life situations. Our thoughts must be directed towards a constructive and worthwhile end. As parents, we are responsible for the welfare of our children until they are ready to leave the nest and fend for themselves. We must therefore guide them with the utmost of care and understanding. Their lives, at least to some degree, are a testimony to our commitment and ability to set a good role model. For every reason a child should stay active and keep fit, the same applies to parents and adults. What's good for the gander is good for the goose. If a child grows up in an active, health-conscious environment, guided by positive emotion, reason, and foresight, it's likely they'll continue in that same vein. I say likely because as a father and a grandfather, I can tell you that from my own experience, there are no guarantees. With kids, you hope for the best and you do your best to guide them towards the light. But after that, it's all up to them. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from American motivational speaker Dennis Waitley. The greatest gifts you can give your children are the roots of responsibility and the wings of independence.